You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Welcome back. November 17, 2022. We are live streaming at rumble.com. Go to Rumble right now and enter in Larry Connors, USA. Join us in studio. Glad you're here. We got some sandwiches over here and coffee and, well, we had some. I don't know what happened to them. Sorry. You got here too late. Reminding you also, you can subscribe and we'll send it to you daily. And we do not sell your information, and it's absolutely free to you. And the same thing with our podcast, audio portions. May I encourage you again, share these with friends and neighbors who don't know about the program, because you will hook them. I don't know how many folks tell me, said, I was with somebody, I mentioned it to you and them, and before I know, they say they're in love with you. Well, I appreciate that. I know we're talking about in love with what I do, right? I assume. Thank you anyway. So back to the political scene, and you heard that Nancy Pelosi is officially stepping aside as speaker. She has to, because they don't have control of the House anymore. Give up the gavel. So we now hold the gavel, and this means right now that we're going to look for more House committee investigations. We're not going to get that many out of the Senate, even though Senators Grassley and Johnson have some, because it's still controlled, or it probably will be, by the senators. We're still waiting to see what happens in Georgia with Raphael Warnock and, of course, Herschel Walker. Now, when it comes to replacing Pelosi, many are saying she can't be replaced. On one hand, I agree with you. On the other hand, about time. We have Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat from New York. Always been seen as a favorite to replace her. And now that the House Majority Leader, Steny Hoyer, announced he's not running, it guarantees almost that Jeffries will be leading the caucus, because there are not many folks that are going to oppose him. Even Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat from California, said, I will not seek leadership. And Congressman Jim Clyburn, Democrat from South Carolina, said he won't either. So they're going to all step aside for him. We told you yesterday about how some of the results were going with Mitch McConnell as he was running for Senate GOP leader. There were 10 defectors that voted for challenger Rick Scott, Republican of Florida. So McConnell got 37 yes votes, 10 votes against, one senator voting present. This is the first time McConnell has received a no vote as leader. And he told reporters later, I don't own this job. Anybody who wants to run for it can feel free to do so. So I'm not in any way offended by having an opponent or having a few votes in opposition. That's what he says. We'll see what he does. Governor DeSantis, now this is a poll that is contrary to what we had yesterday. We had one yesterday stating that Trump was leading DeSantis by 17 points. This one in a hypothetical GOP primary by Economist YouGov poll showing that if you had to choose, would you rather see the Republican nominee for president 51% chose DeSantis, 33% selected Trump, 17% not sure. This means that for right now, too far away. By the way, DeSantis is tamping down any establishment media's efforts to escalate a rift between him and the former president, telling reporters, we just need to chill out. That's a good idea. Jay Leno undergoing surgery for serious burns after flames erupted on a vintage car he's working on, still hospitalized. They say he's going to be okay, just going to take a while. Daryl Brooks receiving six consecutive life sentences without the possibility of parole. Who is he? He's a guy who drove an SUV through a crowd at Waukesha, Wisconsin, last year during a parade, killing six, injuring 61 others. I wouldn't even bother listing his name, except that he's going to at least have to serve that time. So he's not going to be out doing anything else. But I'm going to tell you, driving a car, and of course, if it had been a gun, we'd heard the Democrats yelling for his head as well. But this time it was a van, so I guess we're going to have to outlaw vans. But in my opinion, justice is still not served.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Today we're going to provide you with something that you all aren't used to with respect to congressional investigations, and that's evidence. Committee Republicans have spoken with multiple whistleblowers from numerous schemes involving the Biden family, reviewed Hunter Biden's laptop, and received documents of previously unknown transactions. What we found are business plans aimed at targets around the world based on influence peddling, including with people closely tied to foreign governments like China and Russia. We also found plans made to the United States where the Biden family swindled investors of hundreds of thousands of dollars, all with Joe Biden's participation and knowledge. In 2019, shortly after announcing his campaign for president, Joe Biden told the American people he had nothing to do with and never had conversations with his family about their business dealings. That was a lie.
Those are the words of Congressman Comer, James Comer, Republican Kentucky. He is head of the House Oversight Committee. Republicans now have charge of the House, and they have said investigations will begin. Now, you heard the audio kind of go down at one point. I don't know if someone controlling the audio at that end decided to, well, let's see if we can quiet them a bit. It could have been a technical thing. I can go all conspiratorial on you. I just think you got the point. They're going to continue to dig into us. And then he started pointing out, it's not just what we've been told is a lie. When we start looking at other Biden and Hunter Biden info and other countries and companies, there's a lot more under that rock.
Whistleblowers describe President Biden as chairman of the board for these businesses. He personally participated in meetings and phone calls. Documents show that he was a partner with access to an office. To be clear, Joe Biden is the big dog.
This evidence raises troubling questions about whether President Biden is a national security risk and about whether he is compromised by foreign government. The investigation reveals a family that engaged with some of America's most powerful adversaries, planning to sell one of the largest sources of cobalt for electric vehicles in the world to the Chinese, for example. The Bidens flourished and became millionaires by simply offering access to the family. Among the dozens of shell companies the Bidens set up, there were millions of dollars of wire transfers, flights on Air Force Two to conduct personal business, and meetings with heads of state, all while Joe Biden was aware of what was happening. All the while, he turned a blind eye.
Yeah, I think that pretty well sums up what we know. I mean, Biden still denies anything and everything. Let me share something with you that I was going to have her on today as a guest, but I understand she's not feeling well. Jordan Boyd with The Federalist. She's also a co-producer of The Federalist Radio Hour, been featured in The Daily Wire, Fox News. Jordan listed several things that she thinks this is what the GOP should do now that controls the House. And among them, there are a myriad of reasons to impeach President Biden, and the GOP should use them to their advantage. Impeachment, she writes, would likely be vehemently and hypocritically opposed by Democrats, but it should send a message to Republicans in this country: we're not going to take government-led attacks on our Constitution or law-abiding citizens sitting down. And I agree with that. They impeached Trump twice. Of course, he's never convicted. And we now know the Russian collusion story was built on a false Steele dossier bought and paid for by the Hillary Clinton Foundation and DNC money. That in itself should have said, that stuff is useless. It's not worth anything. And they knew it. They knew it, but they didn't care. They had no one to just stop it. And they would all come out. You've got all these Intel committee leaders that would come out and say, well, we can't discuss what happened behind closed doors because it's a grand jury type proceeding, so we can't discuss it. But I can tell you this. I can tell you this. Are you listening? It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. And I have a frequent guest that's on this program that told me Biden's going to be impeached and convicted. And put, I mean, not Biden, that Trump will be impeached, convicted, and put in jail. That didn't happen. Doesn't mean they're not going to continue trying. We do understand that. So here's the other thing that Comer said. When you start looking at how some of this money was going around, it raises concerns because of our banking laws. We have banking laws that supposedly would catch things that look funny. I've had it happen to me. I don't know if you have. I had a check that got written to me by a client, and the bank suddenly raised a flag about, well, where did this money come from? It's from my client. It's right here. It's if I were using it to launder money from drug deals. And I'm thinking, oh, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to do more than that amount of money. Come on. If you're going to commit a crime, commit a big one, right? But anyway, again, Congressman James Comer, Republican, Kentucky, said these banking concerns are legitimate.
Many transactions related to these businesses have raised red flags at U.S. banks. A suspicious activity report, or SAR, is a document a bank must file with the Treasury Department when a transaction is suspected to be related to money laundering or fraud or other types of criminal activity. According to media reports, the Biden family accumulated over 150 SARs. One SAR generated by an American bank to the Treasury Department connects Hunter Biden and his business associates to international human trafficking, among other illegal activities. The money that was being made from foreign principals in the same room as Joe Biden was increasingly spent on furthering illegal activity. The SAR showed that Hunter Biden was conducting business with suspected human traffickers.
Human traffickers? We know this Biden administration has been assisting them by leaving the border open. Do you really believe all those children coming across the border are related to the person that brings them across the border? We're not DNA testing anymore. And some of them are too young to say if they are or they're not, or maybe they're under threat, or maybe their family sold them to some of the cartels to help get their child here, thinking the child would be better, not thinking about what's going to happen to that child along the way, and then once they're delivered here, and maybe somewhere just simply kidnapped off the streets of Mexico City or Venezuela or somewhere, and they were basically now part of the syndrome where they accept who they're in being held by. They just kind of go along, the Stockholm syndrome, where they don't argue, they just go with it. Let me point out a couple things Jordan Boyd and the Federalists have written. He said, here's something else the GOP should do when it controls the House. Impeach Merrick Garland. She said that's what their prime priority should be going into this legislative year. Everything Garland has done as Attorney General has been mendaciously political, from smearing parents who speak out at a school board meeting as domestic parents or domestic terrorists, to targeting peaceful anti-abortion activists while doing nothing about the pro-abortion vigilantes attacking churches and crisis centers. In fact, she quoted her own colleague, the Federalist John Davidson, who had written back in October, he, Merrick Garland, has to be stopped, and a determined GOP-led Congress is the only way they can stop him. She also points out, defund the FBI. She said, Garland may be guilty of politicizing and weaponizing the power against Americans he swore to protect, but the FBI zealously carried out his dirty work. She said, for years the FBI has swerved any accountability for its laundry list of corruption, seeing as how corrupt laws have now been in the last 6 years affecting opponents of a Democrat regime. It's in Republicans' best interest to dismantle the agency. And any of the necessary duties, such as child sex abuse cases, which were sidelined for partisan missions, should be redistributed to more responsible arms of government. And she also says, disband the sham January 6th committee. She said it's a political show created to demonize Donald Trump and his supporters. We all know that. But it did happen, and as I told you the day it happened, they will beat you over the head with this forever. Forever and ever and ever. They're going to make you suffer because of January 6th. And I repeat again, January 6th will outlive any cockroach you know, because they're going to make sure it's fed and created and brought back to the table when they need it. All right, so Comer is, as I said, he's the Oversight Committee chairman. Another person who's weighing in on what should be done now by Republicans would be Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio. He's going to head up the House Judiciary Committee.
Now remember, we just did a report.
Over the past 6 months, we have been investigating as well as exposing the truth behind all of these food processing plans that...
Report 2 weeks ago, Judiciary Committee, a report that talked about the political influence and the political shenanigans going on in our Justice Department, based on 14 FBI agents who've come talk to our office as whistleblowers. One of those agents said, and this is the term he used, he said, at the highest levels of the FBI, specifically the Washington Field Office, he said it's rotted to the core. Not talking about rank and file agents. They're doing good work. Talking about the top people at the Washington field ops. We had another whistleblower who brought up the name Mr. Tebalt and said Mr. Tebalt is pressuring agents to catalog and categorize cases in a specific way to satisfy this narrative about domestic violence extremism. But what's interesting is a different whistleblower, one who didn't come to our office, a different whistleblower who went to Senator Grassley's office, said that Mr. Tebalt, by the way, the head of the special agent in charge at the Washington field office, Mr. Tebow, is also the guy who suppressed information about the Hunter Biden story in October of 2020. I'd like to talk to Mr. Tebow. In fact, we have asked to talk to Mr. Tebow, even though he said publicly, I welcome a chance to answer questions. He's refused to come in and talk to us. That's someone we need to talk to.
Yeah. Oh, they will put on a face and say, yeah, I'll be glad to come and talk to you. But when as we say, the rubber meets the road, no, not going to. Because of two things. One, they know if they appear before the committee, anything they say, they're doing under oath. So if it's a lie, it's perjury. And two, if they're going to stand up and start naming other names and other crimes, then they might have a, you know, they might get run over by a railroad car that jumps the tracks somewhere. You think I'm kidding? No, I'm not kidding. What we have right now within this administration, the way it's been doing things, is exactly the way the mob would take care of those who squeal, who turn state's witness. So he might have said, I'm really willing to talk to you and give you more details, but I'm going to need some protection, witness protection. I'm going to have to be hidden away and never be found again and see if anybody can get to me then. One other thing that was pointed out in the column, the Federalist column, and again, I wish I'd had her on board, but today she just wasn't feeling well enough, and we've had her on several times, but I think she it would be worth pointing out. She said, we need to get to the bottom of the Afghanistan debacle. That we certainly do. And we need to drastically limit federal spending. Yes, we do. And we need to block whatever we can that the White House and Senate will try to push through. Again, I fully agree. Coming up, Jim Jordan says we are going to get to the bottom.
Larry Connors USA.
We're committed to getting to the truth, the facts. We think that's what the American people are entitled to. We're gonna try to help Representative Comer and the team here at Oversight with our work on judiciary, but with a specific focus on what the FBI was doing. We know these 51 former intel officials, they got security clearance. How often are they talking to the FBI? Are they talking to the FBI? Who's doing the talking? Who's doing the briefing? Were they briefed? There's so many questions that need answered so we can get to the bottom of this. And the final thing I would say is this. A colleague of mine said this in a committee hearing a few weeks ago, Mr. Gates. He said, when is the FBI going to quit interfering with elections? 2016, they spied on President Trump's campaign. 2018, it was the Mueller investigation. 2020, they suppressed information about the Hunter Biden story. 2022, they raided the president's home 91 days before an election. Maybe it'd be nice if the FBI and the Justice Department just stayed out of it and let we the people decide who we think should represent us, who we think should lead us. That's supposed to be how America works. So this is the focus on the Judiciary Committee, the political nature of the Justice Department, and the linkage now to what was happening with the Hunter Biden story, again, just 15 days before we have a presidential election.
It just happened to be a coinky-dinky, right? No. I agree wholeheartedly with Congressman Jordan there that we need some answers. It is very clear at the top level of the FBI, they've been weaponized. They have been basically given an assignment. Now, let me remind you something. When the FBI was formed, Herbert Hoover did the same thing. J. Edgar Hoover, not Herbert, J. Edgar Hoover did the same thing. He was having spies try to document things that Martin Luther King Jr. was doing. Alleged relations, whatever thing they could find that he'd use to blackmail him or hold him down and be quiet, just go sit in the corner and shine shoes or something of that nature. So it's not uncommon that the FBI has been used that way. But lately, it's been ramped up, and it's been ramped up because the left thinks, you know, if we can plot something and get something just as a kernel, a small kernel of truth to it, into the FBI machinery, it will germinate and sprout, and pretty soon you've got a whole grown field all built upon a lie. And that's what's happened. That's exactly what's happened. That's why you're going to hear so many people, the moment you, if you start trying to defend Trump, you're wasting your breath with many of them, because they're going to start pulling out this story and that story. And there is no documentation. None of them do. I repeat again, while they will continue to batter you over the head with January 6th, if they had any evidence whatsoever that Trump actually sent guys down there to battle police, to break into the Capitol, to defecate in the hallways, to steal things, to threaten people, even someone like AOC who wasn't even in the Capitol said, oh my God, I had to hide my office. She was in their state office building, not in the Capitol. But she wants you to believe that she too was caught up as a possible threat. And the guys running around, some of them hollering, where's Nancy, where's Nancy? So then the other day when the guy that supposedly attacked, and someone did attack Paul Pelosi, according to police, they saw the guy do it. He was also apparently yelling, where's Nancy? No one has a recording of that. The agents there did not hear it, but it makes a good added part of the story. And when the FBI is basically being told by the Attorney General's office, these parents that show up at these school board meetings always complaining, might need to look into them. Now, we need to look at all of this. We need to open up this can of worms, find all the nasty stuff in there. And there's going to be a lot of it. But I'm all for making it public, fully. Coming up, I want to go back to Sean Hannity's program last night, talking to Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Let's first talk about you won the nomination inside your party caucus. You have to get 218 votes to be the Speaker of the House. There's a small margin. Will the Republicans put their egos aside? Will they work together? Will they follow up on their commitments to America? Will they use the power of subpoena and the power of the purse?
I believe so, Sean, and we need to work together because you are right. We are the only Republican entity that can stop this disastrous Biden agenda. Think for one moment. It is official. One-party Democrat rule in Washington is finished. We have fired Nancy Pelosi.
That in itself should make everyone happy. Days are here again. Now, that's McCarthy talking with Sean Hannity last night. And at that time, Hannity pointing out that, you know, there's still some opposition for you. Well, the word that came out now is that he has been nominated to serve as Speaker of the House. And then in turn, he's won the GOP nomination. And he is the first House Speaker test at this time, but passing it, they say, according to U.S. News and World Report. But hurdles still remain. And by that, according to U.S. News and World Report, while he's cleared the first hurdle, winning the nomination, clearing that, he now faces a week-long effort to stop right flank objections before a final vote that will come in the new year. So see, it's kind of an interim position to that extent. And in fact, there are other stories that are surfacing. I'm looking at some of them here. For what it's worth, Paul Ryan, who is a rhino all the time now, says McCarthy will clinch the speakership. As he said, anyone not named Trump could win. CNN is saying McCarthy has a problem maybe on getting it, and conservatives are also warning McCarthy, you don't have the votes for a speaker. Well, we'll see. We'll see. You know, this is interim right now. We'll see what happens after the election itself. But McCarthy says, whether I win by big or moderate or little, there's only one gavel.
The one thing I know in Washington, they don't hand the gavels out in small, medium, and large size. It's one size gavel with the ability to subpoena and hold this government accountable, secure this border, fight to make us energy independent, give parents a say in their kids' education, and actually look what the DOJ is doing, what the DHS is doing, and others. And that's exactly what we're going to do. On day one in this House, we will repeal 87,000 new IRS agents.
Now, you would have the power to do that, wouldn't you, because you have the power of the purse?
And the power of the purse is everything. See, all the appropriations items come out of the House. That was the very point that was filed, reference Obamacare, when it went before the Supreme Court. If it's going to impose a tax, if it involves appropriations or monies, which it did, then it has to be originated by the House, and it wasn't. But Chief Justice John Roberts rolled over on it and kind of accepted it. Now, again, CNN is saying, so Kevin McCarthy's going to be their new leader, but that's still going to be dangerous for the California Republican as he actually tries to become the next speaker. He won the leadership vote over Arizona GOP Congressman Andy Biggs, 188-31 margin, but here's the problem, as they point out. Republicans will win control of the House, but the majority will be narrow. As of Wednesday evening, CNN projected Republicans will control 218 seats compared to 208 for the Democrats. If the current leaders of nine uncalled races wind up winning, that would leave Republicans with 221 seats, which it may well be. But everybody on the Republican side, if they'll put aside the bickering and look at what's really at stake, and that is the power of the purse.
The size of our debt has got to stop. But we've got to actually focus on what we did listening to the American public. You've got to make an economy that's strong. They're hurting because of inflation. We've got to cut back on this wasteful Washington spending. We've got to make ourselves energy independent. And not just energy independent, let's help our allies. Let's make China dependent on our natural gas. Let's secure our border so our children are no longer being killed by fentanyl every single day. Let's make sure we stop defunding the police and start funding them. Let's make sure parents have a parent's bill of rights, a say in their kids' education. Let's make sure government is held accountable.
Yeah, make government accountable. Now, let me share something with you from the Stansberry Research Group. Stansberry, by the way, is billing itself as a... let me get here for you again. I had it, and I want to make sure I read it correctly. It's a publishing company, privately owned American publishing company, founded by Frank Porter Stansberry, headquartered in Baltimore, Maryland, has offices in Florida, Oregon, California. And this is some of their research that they did. Let me read through this for you. Sound familiar? Joe Biden went public recently saying we will not have a recession. Got that? To be exact, he said, I don't think there will be a recession. If it is, it'll be a very slight recession. That is, we'll move up slightly. And at the time, Fed Chair Jerome Powell said earlier that inflation would be transitory. How's that transitory working out for you, trying to transport from one area to the other? And just before that, Ben Bernanke said the mortgage crisis was, quote, likely to be contained. And the point is, as they say in the Stansberry Research Group, economic forecast from the government crisis was likely to be contained. And before that, Bernanke said the mortgage crisis was likely to be contained. But the point is, economic forecasts from government officials have a history of being very, very wrong. You heard on the network news a moment ago, I think we're going to have to go higher. We just had a 3/4 point hike, the second time in a row in history that we had a 3/4 hike. There's a guy that they quote in here that's an antisocial entrepreneur, 73 years old, very wealthy. Seldom you're going to see him in public. But from one of his, as it's described, his spectacular homes overlooking into one of Europe's most beautiful rivers, he's gone public with a big and urgent prediction. He says there is a looming crisis in America, and it's going to catch Joe Biden and all the political progressives by surprise. It should not be a surprise at all when we cannot do our own energy, oil and gas, and to refill the reserves that Biden has tapped and sold off to China and lowered the price, trying to help you get through Thanksgiving, and your turkey is going to be $20 more easily this year. And Christmas trees, those who have pull them out, stick them together trees, you're going to be a lot better off than those out trying to buy one. But despite having the control of the purse and making things tighter and not letting us continue this reckless spending like a drunk going down the highway at 120 miles an hour, McCarthy said we still need answers to some questions.
We want to know the origins of where COVID began so we never have that happen again. Who funded it? How did it get there? We want to know what happened in the last 60 days of Afghanistan. Why didn't the president listen to the military, creating 13 new Gold Star families that never should have taken place? We've got a number of ways. Why did the DOJ go after parents and call them terrorists? How can we have a Secretary of Homeland calling that this border is secure when you have more than 2.7 individuals illegally coming across? Are the number of people on the terrorist watch list coming into America? What do they have planned? Who are they talking to? And why are they here? That's just a start.
Perfect. Those that are perfect starts, and we want answers to each and every question he laid out. And I think we're going to get them. At least we're going to put them on the spot and make them squirm. At least when it comes to House Republicans. The Senate, forget it. Not a big deal unless it involves January 6th. Coming up, Senator Ted Cruz on his belief in the media, or lack thereof.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I also think when it comes to media, local journalism is far more likely to actually practice journalism, to report on facts, to actually describe to viewers or readers what has happened. I think much of our national media has become wildly politicized on both sides. And many of the national media platforms operate as partisan propaganda outlets. I'd like to see local media expand and proliferate because I think our democracy does better when we have genuine debate from both sides.
That's Senator Ted Cruz, and I would agree with him. I've often pointed out when audiences, when I was in news anchoring business, that are you guys controlled by the Eastern cabal or something? He said, no, I said, actually, we could not even come together on what to do about something. I mean, that's how disorganized we could be as local reporters. However, when the boss and those higher up that own the company send word down, this is the approach we're going to take, you do, or they will give you your walking papers. To wit, I'm not going to bother you with my story. But bottom line is, local media generally can be more trusted. And there's some good people in the markets that are listening to me. You're going to find some good people on both sides. You'll find some that aren't. And some that are new, still learning the craft. We all have to go through that. Normally in a larger market of, say, St. Louis or so, you expect them to have more experience, but they don't want to pay for it, so that's what they get. And I wish them all well if they're trying to do a legitimate job. Because the problem is, too, is that you think you're doing the right job. You're quoting somebody one way today, and the next day you're being chastised for it. Give you an example, since you asked me. I'm glad you said, Larry, give me an example. Here we go. Chuck Schumer, in 2013, tweeted out, "We cracked down on illegal immigration by securing the border and using E-Verify to stop companies from hiring illegal immigrants." That was in 2013, a tweet he put out. So if you bring that up now, then they're going to put this against you here in 2022. He is demanding the country again allow millions to stay in the country and become new citizens despite breaking the law to get here. He said, because we're short of workers. We have a population not producing on the same level it used to. That's what he said just yesterday. The CEO and president of 40 Days for Life, Sean Carney, we've had on before, and he was saying the irony behind that messaging is that Schumer can't figure out why we have a production problem in the U.S. Maybe reproduction problem, I should say. Maybe Schumer can look in the mirror and realize that the pro-abortion, pro-murder policies he loves and adores are wiping out an entire generation of humans willing to work and contribute to society. Of course, we have no proof that they would, but certainly if they're raised generationally in squalor and told just live off the teat of the government, then that's probably what they'll do. But Stacey Abrams the other day did the same thing, blamed inflation on we had people who had too many children. If they started aborting babies, they'd be able to afford more. Yeah, you can get a big brand new color TV or something. Or a new car if you didn't have a baby. And for some, that's reason enough to abort a baby. And that's a shame, isn't it? What fits your lifestyle? As I mentioned previously, one good thing that has come out of the decision by the court regarding Roe v. Wade, it does not stop abortion entirely. It leaves it to the states. Some states extremely restrict, maybe more than I'd be willing to accept. But then there are other states that are willing to have it up to the moment of birth. Up to the moment of birth. And yet, if a pregnant woman is in a car wreck and she's 4 months along, generally the person that had caused the car wreck is going to be charged with two homicides. And now, unless they get them a good liberal lawyer with them, said, well, that's not a baby. That's just a clump of cells that on an ultrasound look like a baby. It's all tricks. And I have said that I think by imposing on that states make their decisions, and I mentioned it just yesterday, and I'll repeat it again, and I would hope, I would pray no one woman would be this callous about it, but I know there probably are some. I can't pay the cable TV. I got to go get a pedicure this afternoon. Maybe after that I can run by and get an abortion. But if it's not in your state, you may have to travel a few hundred miles or so. So maybe it would give them time to think about what they're doing. And maybe save that baby, which would become a blessing to them and others, hopefully. As always, I appreciate you listening. Share the word with others, will you? This is a program like none other. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.